Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I just want to say welcome to church and welcome online. It is so good to have you, whether you're in the building this morning or whether you are watching online. We are so glad that you are joining us for church. So what a day we had yesterday. Who put your hand up if you were involved in the serve day at all? Just a show of hands. Yeah, great. Great to see some kids involved. Thank you so much to every single person. I know Andy said it, but we'll say it again. Thank you so much to every single person that was involved. And for Pete and Andy, the amazing planning and preparation that you put into that working bee is outstanding, and I know what a blessing it's going to be tomorrow morning when everyone comes on the property. We made 144 individual meals for Siri. So not me, I didn't make anything. It was the teams that cooked. And so can we have that? Yeah, you've got that slide. So like really delicious food, like pies, casseroles, soups. There's a roast there. That's Nick. He took pride cooking that roast with his team. Just amazing. 200 care packs were made. And so thank you so much to Sky for all your help in organising and planning and helping me with that. So appreciated. And the drop-off items. We could not believe how much stuff you guys dropped off throughout the day. And the photo or the video that Julia showed, that doesn't even do justice to the more that came in. And so we're going to have truckloads that we're going to have to take, which is a great problem to have. And lastly, financially, this month in October, you so generously gave around $11,500 for Be the Love Month. So that funded everything that we did yesterday, which is just an amazing effort. So can we give everyone another round of applause and a big thank you? And thank you so much for your prayers as well. And we have been encouraging people to pray, and we're going to continue to pray for everything, for the seeds that were sown and for people's hearts as they receive. And you know, when Andy and I were planning this in September, we came to the conclusion that we probably weren't going to be able to do much hands-on stuff. And so the fact that we were able to go ahead yesterday in groups with people in person was such a blessing, and we honour and thank God for the open doors that he made happen to enable that. And so don't underestimate the impact that you have made. You might have dropped off one item. You might have given a small amount. You might have come yesterday. Don't underestimate the impact and the seeds that God is planting and will continue to plant in the hearts of everyone that receives. So can we just pray now as a church over what happened yesterday? That would be great. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us to be a blessing in our community. And Father, I thank you for everyone that was involved yesterday. And we thank you, Father God, for the people that are going to be on the receiving end of these acts of kindness, of these blessings. Father, we pray that you would soften their hearts. We pray that as they open a meal or eat a meal during the week, or as they run onto that school property and see the difference, or a nurse that might open up a pack, Father, we pray then more than just they feel blessed and loved, that they would know that there is a God in heaven that loves them and cares for them and has a plan and a purpose for their life. And so we pray that you would actually reveal yourself to them, that you would draw people unto yourself, and we continue to pray and look for opportunities where we can share your love to these people. And so we just give you thanks and praise and ask that your work would be done in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I was thinking, about yesterday, and I was thinking, well, how do we move on from a day like yesterday? How do we live after this? Because do we just wait until, serve day comes around next year, or October rolls around in 2022? We obviously are not going to wait that long. And so as a church, when it comes to serving, we serve so well. We serve so well all year round. There is rarely a need that we present where we ask for help or people to contribute or sign up and that need is not met. And that is so encouraging, and you should be so proud that you are a church that serves really well. And so we could not do what we do in our church without every single one of you. And that is a true thing. And serving happens everywhere, and it happens all the time, and it happens inside the church and it happens outside the church. And so this morning, I want to have a look at how we go about living a personal life of servanthood all year round, every single day. And so that's going to be my message for this morning, because serving is not something that we just do, but serving is something, being a servant is part of who we are. It is part of our identity in Christ. And so I'm going to go to John chapter 13, and it will be on your screens if you want to read along. Verse 1 is where we're going to start. It was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Verse 4. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. What a beautiful picture we have here of our Saviour and the way that he served others. And I love that the act of washing the disciples' feet was how he expressed his love. The Bible says it was how he showed his disciples the full extent of his love. It was an expression of love. And that is the most important thing that we need to remember when it comes to serving. That we're not just servants, and we don't just serve for the sake of serving and doing things, but we do it as an act of love to express the heart of God. Who here has read the Five Love Languages book? Anyone read that? Great. Who here remembers what the five love languages are? Huh? No one. Oh, Veronica does. That's good. Well, I'll give you a clue. One of them is acts of service. And if you are someone that speaks that language of love, then for you, actions speak louder than words. And I remember when Aaron and I were a young dating couple and we got told to read that book. And as obedient people, we did as we were told and we read it. And we worked out that my love language was quality time and that Aaron's was words of affirmation. And I remember Claudia, I don't know where Claudia's sitting. I remember Claudia Blacker saying to me, she said, Nicole, you might find that as you get older and you get married and have kids that your love language might change. And you know when people say things to you and you nod and you smile, particularly older people, but inside your mind you're like, what are you talking about? I don't really understand. I couldn't imagine what she was saying. My 25-year-old brain couldn't imagine that my love language might change. But fast forward a decade, and Claudia, you were right. Where is Claudia? There she is. Chris, did you know your wife is always right? Did you know that? She's always right because now, sure, like a massage or a poem or a present or a night out, I love those things. I would never say no to them. But if you really want to show me that you love me, cook me dinner, clean up, do the vacuuming, make the bed, do the laundry, wash the windows. That is just the key to my heart. You don't have to do all those things, just one or two or maybe even three. But is anyone else with me on that? Does anyone want to say amen to that? Andy's nodding. Is that right, Andy? Yeah, okay. So, you know, 25-year-old me just wanted time, like just spend time with me. But now it's all about spend time doing things for me. It's funny how you change when you get older. But my point is, and I know that not everyone relates to that love language of acts of service, but my point is that we serve to show love. And that the motive and the goal for serving is always love. And Jesus expressed his love through serving. And in verse 15, he instructs his disciples that they are to do the same thing, that we are to follow his example. So does that mean that we all go around washing people's feet? Well, you can do that if you want, but I don't actually think that's what Jesus meant when he said those words. What he was really trying to show us is an example of the attitude and the willingness when it comes to serving others. And my study Bible says this, that Christians should be willing to perform the most menial of services for one another. Menial, meaning those lowly acts, those things that aren't that glamorous or that carry a lot of prestige. And I mentioned a few weeks ago when I did communion that my father-in-law, Reno, who most of you would know, runs a cleaning business. And as I was preparing the message for this morning, I couldn't help but think of him. And his business, for those that know, is called Good News Cleaning. And the motto that's printed on the front of the T-shirt is what? Say it louder. Here to serve you. That is the motto on the T-shirt that Reno has for everyone that works for him. And I think that is a pretty incredible motto to put on your business, especially when it's a cleaning business. And if you know Reno, you know that he is an incredible, humble servant, whether it's in work or family or whether it's in his spare time when he's handing out hot dogs and sharing the gospel on the streets. But I said to Reno, I had a chat with him during the week and I asked him a few questions and I said, Reno, can you tell me why? Why did you decide to put that slogan, here to serve you, on your cleaning business? And this is what he said. He said, because Jesus came to serve all mankind. Because Jesus put himself last and was servant of all. What an amazing principle to make part of your life's work. And I said, Reno, that's great. I said, but wouldn't people take advantage of you? You know, wouldn't that mean that if it's on your t-shirt that you would never be able to say no to people? And he said, yeah, people sometimes take advantage, but I serve them anyway. And I say to them, and I say out loud, I'm here to serve you because you've got to do what you say you're going to do. And if it's on my t-shirt, then I am going to do it. And that's an incredible attitude. And I asked him lastly, I said, all right, well, have you ever regretted it? Have you ever regretted putting that slogan on your t-shirt? And he said, no. He goes, oh, hang on, once. Just once. Once I was in a bad mood and I wasn't having a very good day. And I think the story goes that he was picking up rubbish somewhere and the bag split open and all the rubbish spilled out everywhere and he had to do it again. And he thought, what a silly idea this is. So just once in 29 years, it's good to know, Reno, that you're human, just like all of us, and you have a bad day once every 29 years. But whether you know, when we don't all work for Good News Cleaning, but shouldn't that be our life motto as well, here to serve you? Wasn't that the motto that Jesus lived by? And he said of himself in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came into the world as a servant and he lived his life serving others. It wasn't just when he washed his disciples' feet. It wasn't a once-off. It was who he was. And a few weeks ago, Chris Blacker, in his sermon, asked the question of us. He said, if Jesus was to come and live in your home for a month, would it change anything? And that's really challenging and it's really thought-provoking to think about that. And so if Jesus was in our home, would it change how we went about serving? Would we serve our family more? Would we serve our family with a better attitude? Would we serve our neighbours and those around us more? And it's good to have a think about that. And so this morning, if we're going to go about living a personal life of servanthood, I've got four things that will help us do that. And the first thing is to value humility over greatness. You know, humility is always a good place to start in whatever situation in life. And when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he was also showing us that you need to be humble when it comes to serving. That if we are to be willing to do those menial, lowly tasks for other people, that is going to require humility. And serving is not always going to be fun and it's not always going to feel good and look great. And yesterday was a great day and it was fun. And I know a lot of people had fun and it was a feel-good day. And people sent me messages saying, that was amazing, thank you, this is great, it was so good to be a part of it. And it is when you're in a team and we got to see each other and have a laugh and it was a really good feeling. But it's not always going to look like that and it's not always going to feel like that. Because sometimes it's going to be hard and sometimes it's going to hurt and sometimes it will cost us something and sometimes it will be inconvenient and uncomfortable and it will require a sacrifice. But in those moments, we need to remain humble and remember that greatness in God's eyes is very different to greatness in our own eyes. And the disciples needed to learn this. In Luke 22:24, it says this about the disciples. Now a dispute also arose among them as to which of them, which of the disciples, was regarded to be the greatest. And Jesus said to him, the kings of the Gentiles have absolute power and lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not to be this way with you. On the contrary, the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest and least privileged, and the one who is the leader like the servant. For who is the greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves? So the disciples are bickering about who's the greatest, and the way that Jesus deals with their little bicker is to ask them the question, who's greater, the one who's sitting at the table receiving the meal or the one who's serving the meal? because no one back then wanted to be serving. It was not a position that people fought over. It was not something that they aspired to doing. Of course, you wanted to be the one that was reclining at the table. Now, has anyone gone out to dinner or to a restaurant this last week, enjoyed that? A few nods. I went to a cafe during the week. It was so nice. Someone made me lunch and they brought it out to me. And then they took my plate away and they did the dishes. And I sat in the sun and I ate this delicious lunch that someone else had made, and it was good. Like, let's not beat around the bush. Being served and waiting on, that's nice. Like I enjoy that. I'm sure we all enjoy it. But you know what's greater than sitting there enjoying something that someone else has done for you and brought you and cleaned up? It's the one who is serving. That's what the Bible says. And you might think, well, Nicole, that's their job. They're paid to bring you food. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's true. But you know, even if it's your job, you can still choose to serve with a humble attitude. That's still a choice that we have. And Jesus made the point that the kings would throw their authority around and lord it over people. But he said, it is to be different with you. But as my disciples, as my followers, it's not to be like that. You've got to be different. Humility looks different from our normal society. Jesus washing the disciples' feet looked different. And Jesus was all about servant leadership, a trait that was uncommon then as it is now. And so our encouragement is this in Philippians 2 verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. You know, Jesus is God. He has all authority. He is God's son. And yet he chose to become a servant. He made himself nothing because Jesus valued humility over greatness. And so the second thing when it comes to living a life of servanthood is this. Number two, don't just do the minimum. Colossians 3, 22 to 25, and I've got the Message version here, says this. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Don't you just love the Message Bible and the way that it puts it so clearly so that we all know exactly what's going on? Don't do the minimum. Don't just do whatever you can to just scrape by. Don't sulk about it. Don't have an attitude that is, oh, poor me while I'm serving. Don't do shoddy work. And you know what's super challenging about reading a passage like that? Is that it's actually possible to serve, to do this spiritual, highly valued thing that Jesus asks of us, but to do it with a bad attitude and to do the bare minimum. And so what Paul is doing is he's reminding us that we have a responsibility, that we are held accountable to do our best work and to do it with a great attitude. We've been cooking meals for a lot of different people this year as a church, and I was texting someone to remind them that they were rostered on to bring the meal the next week. And they sent me this text message after they had dropped the meal off. And I won't say who it was, but I just want to read it because it really blessed me. They said this: was able to bless 6 families this week with some cooking. So feeling amazing. It's been a wonderful week. The kids and I pray for opportunities to serve and bless people, just as so many have blessed us over the year. And I read that message and I thought, wow, 6 families. This person has blessed 6 families this week with cooking. And this person has a family of their own. And what really, I guess, struck out to me or stood out to me was not just that they blessed so many people and that they served so many people. And it wasn't just that they pray for opportunities for God to use them, but it was the attitude with which they did it. Because they were able to serve, because they were able to bless so many people, it was a wonderful week. That's what a wonderful week looked like, was blessing and serving others. That made them feel great. And I think that's what it's all about. That's what it means to live a life of servanthood. And I spoke a few months ago or whenever it was about Be The Love, and I think it was Jen in that interview mentioned that Pete Harris and his team went and ran and funded and organised a 6th birthday party for one of the kids in the family that we are supporting with meals. But what she didn't say is that the dad of that child was very reluctant and very hesitant to let the church, to let Pete and his team come in and run this party for this child. In fact, I think his words were, "I don't want anything to do with those Christians. I don't want any churchy music being played at this party." And so he was pretty suspicious, I would say, of what the church would come and do if we were to take part in his child's birthday party. But anyway, the party went ahead and Pete and his team went in, and after their very best efforts and putting on an amazing Spider-Man themed slot car party, this father's attitude changed towards the church. After he saw the way that Pete and his team came in and served his family and served his guests, his attitude changed. And I think he said something like, "Wow, those Christians aren't so bad after all." Which is nice that he said that about you, Pete. And, you know, I think that it would have been easy for Pete and his team to go in there and just do the bare minimum. Just get it done. Just look at it like, let's just do this and get out of there. He doesn't even want us in there. But they went in with great attitudes and served and did over, above and beyond. And because of that, this man's view of church and opinion of church has changed. And he looks at the church, and hopefully he connects God with that differently because of the way in which people went in and served. And that's the impact that we can make when we serve and do our best work and we do it with a great attitude. And if we're going to serve in this way, then asking and listening and being obedient to the Holy Spirit is going to be so paramount. God, what would you have me do? God, who can I bless this week? How can I bless them? And you know, we might not get the answer that we want. It might be different to what we think. It might not always be convenient. But if we are hearing from God and it's the voice of God, we can know that God has a greater purpose in mind than what we might be able to see. So let's be people that ask God regularly, how can I serve and give my best today to those around me? The third thing is to fight against self-focus. If we're going to live a life of servanthood, we have got to be others-focused, not self-focused. But the problem is that we just are naturally selfish, self-absorbed human beings. That is our natural human nature. And it is how we are encouraged to live, and it's how we are encouraged to think in our world. And so serving others goes against what comes easy to us, in a sense. And in everything that Jesus has been showing and teaching his disciples about serving, it's been opposite to the culture that they've been in. So Jesus, their master and their Lord, washed their feet. What's with that? The one serving is greater than the one reclining at the table. That's strange. He's been teaching the disciples how to fight against self-focus and to get the mentality of others first, me last. In 1 Corinthians 10:24, it says, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbour." And we've been out of lockdown now for about a week. And so schools are back and sport is back and shopping's back. Who went to the shops yesterday? It was madness. It was crazy. It was crazy at the shops. And our busy lives have resumed. Our lives are full again very, very quickly. And so where we once might have had an abundance of time, all of a sudden we might find ourselves quite time poor and rushing around again like we used to do. And so that means that we're going to have to be super intentional and super purposeful about how we spend our time and what we allow to fill our lives up with. And it is a choice. How we spend our time and what we fill our lives with is always a choice. And it's so natural for it to be about ourselves. It's so easy for that to be selfish. And I know more than anyone what it's like to just have the mindset of getting things done and getting through a busy day or getting through a busy weekend. But when we have that mindset, I don't know about you, but I miss opportunities. I miss the little opportunities that God might want to use me to serve others. And I don't want to live like that. I don't want to miss the moments that God might want me to serve others. And Jesus said that if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. Daily. In other words, fighting against self has got to be a daily habit. It's got to be a daily choice. Every once in a while is not going to cut it. And Jesus was all about self-denial. His whole time on earth was about denying self. And that, again, it's not popular. It's not a popular concept in our society. And I found this quote that I think sums up what it means to deny ourselves. Because sometimes we hear that, deny yourself, but we're like, what does that mean? What does that mean? I really like the way it put this. It says, every day you need to find at least one opportunity where you can choose to do the thing of conviction rather than the thing of convenience. Let's choose to be servants of conviction, not just convenience. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter how full and busy our lives are, we are called to serve. And so let's keep fighting against self in that. And lastly, number four, to live a life of servanthood, we need to keep an eternal perspective, because who we are truly serving, who is our master and who we're serving, is our Heavenly Father. Colossians 3:24, I read this before. It says, work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. And this is so important to remember when we're serving, and the people that we're serving, it's hard work, or they're not grateful, or they don't want our help, or they're just not likable, or we're busy, or we've got something else that we want to do. We've got to remember that we get our reward in heaven. We've got to remember that we're actually serving Jesus Christ. And again, even that whole concept of getting our reward in heaven, that's not normal. We like to see results. When we work hard, we like to see results. We like to see the fruit of our labor. But we've got to understand that we might get a little bit of encouragement and we might hear a little bit of feedback, but our main reward and the main thing that we're going to see from our serving is actually going to be in heaven. It's not going to be on this earth. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, for though I am free for all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. Paul knew that living a life of serving others ultimately came down to winning people into the kingdom. And I want to finish this morning with a story. And we were emailed we were sent an email a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just going to read the email to you. This was sent from a man outside the church. He says this, I went bike riding with my daughter yesterday and came unstuck when I got a puncture with no spare tube or equipment to fix it with. My bike is an older model, and while lots of other riders stopped to check if they could help, none could, as their newer bikes carried different sized tyres to mine. We had just phoned my wife, the support vehicle pilot, to come and rescue us when a group of four riders came along. My heart skipped a beat when I noticed that one of them had the same size bike as mine. The rider hopped off and immediately offered to help, giving me his spare tube and changing the tyre for me. While we were chatting, I let him know that I'd recently had an unfortunate diagnosis, stage 4 cancer in my liver, and that time spent with my family is now extra precious, and that he had really made my day by helping out as he had. I was humbled not only by his help, but by the fact that he then offered to pray for me. Although I was raised a Catholic, I have no religious beliefs, but I was extremely touched by this gesture. This man had given what he could practically, but perhaps, and more importantly, he also gave spiritually. To have such care shown by a stranger is heartwarming to say the least, but more importantly, reinforced to me that I'm not alone in my fight. I'm sure he doesn't want recognition or reward, but it meant so much to me that I wanted to pass on a message of thanks. I believe this man attends LMC. Dan, if we can have the worship team up. What a beautiful story of someone serving. And I think, or I know, that when it comes to us serving in whatever capacity that might look like, that we need to be willing to give spiritually as well as give practically. And that is going to take courage, because that's not going to be easy, and that's going to be stepping outside our comfort zone for so many people. And it would have been so easy for this man to stop and fix the bike and then go and pray for this stranger at home. That would have been great, and it still would have helped the man, it still would have blessed that man, it still would have served him. But what I find so inspiring and encouraging for me, and I hope that you find it too, is that we actually should be willing to take our level of service to the next level and not just offer what we can in the practical realm or in the natural realm, in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm, and give people a hope that goes beyond just what they have here in this life. And so as I pray and as we worship again, I would encourage you to even use this opportunity to start asking God, where do you want me serving? And maybe you are already serving in some capacity, and that is fantastic. And that is no small thing. But what I have been encouraged by through this whole month in October, and particularly yesterday, is I don't want to just do it on a day when I've signed up to do it. I want to do it every single day. And it's not easy, and it's hard, and particularly now in this time where life is full and back. But God, I want to serve you every day, and I want to serve other people every day, no matter what that might look like. So I'm going to pray, and why don't we stand? And if you're at home, I encourage you to do that as well. Father God, I thank you. We thank you that you sent us your Son Jesus to serve us, to come into this world and take his place as a man and to live his life serving those. And I thank you, Jesus, for the example that you have set for us. And Father God, we look to you, Jesus. We want to remember, and we want to remember what you encourage us to do and to do the same as you. And so, Father God, I pray that even now as we spend these few moments worshiping you, the Holy Spirit, that you would start bringing conviction to people's hearts, that you would start showing people faces and names and places and areas that you might want to use us to serve people in. And Father, I pray that we would make ourselves available to you, no matter what we're doing every single day, that we would be ready to do the thing of conviction, not just the thing of convenience. Father God, that we would fight against self and put you first, that we would allow you to rule and reign, just as Matt prayed about earlier this morning, not just on one part of our life, but in every single area, in every single day. And Father, I pray that we would be a people that are known for our service, that we would have the motto that we are here to serve you most of all, God, and that would be carried out in every single area of our life. So God, we pray for open doors. We pray for boldness and courage. I pray that we would receive even now a spirit of boldness to speak out, to give people a spiritual hope more than just a practical one. And Father, we pray that in all of this, that people would come to know you, that you would be glorified in our community. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen.
Good morning. So I'm Sally. I'll just tell you a bit about myself in case you don't know. So I'm a part of the worship team at LMC and the Young Adults Leadership Team. And day to day, I'm a nurse in the ICU, and I do a bit of education as well. But I'm currently on maternity leave because I recently became a mum. So I've got a little photo. Do we have that? This is my little one. She's 4.5 months old now. Her name is Valerie Jane Vincent. And today I just wanted to share a little bit about what God has taught me about being a child of his through becoming a mum. So we're going to do communion now. So if you don't have your elements, just go and grab those. So this next slide. Next one. Oh, look at those eyes. I mean, you might not see what I see because you didn't give birth to this baby. but when I see those eyes, I see the love of Christ. It is a love so pure, so perfect, so gentle, with no strings attached. And you can see it's sort of the photos off to the side, and she was looking at me like that. And I just thought, I always want to remember this moment. So I tried to like take the photo without her realizing. And I love that photo. She's about 2 months old there. So in Matthew 18, 2-3 in the Amplified Version, and I've got that one up on the screen as well. He called a little child and set him before them and said, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you repent, that is, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, live changed lives and become like little children, trusting, humble and forgiving, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In this verse, why does Jesus call us to become like little children? Trusting, humble, and forgiving. And I was reflecting on this. When Valerie calls out to me, she doesn't question whether I will answer. She doesn't doubt that I'm there. She doesn't doubt that I'm listening, because I am. I may not be physically present in the room, but I'm always listening, ready to respond if she needs me. She doesn't doubt that I will respond. She doesn't get stuck in her head. She doesn't worry whether I'm there. Val has a need, whether that's food, nourishment, a cuddle, she needs comfort. She's cold or hot or needs a nappy changed, whether she has a physical need, she just recognises her need and calls out. And in Romans 8, 14 to 17, I've got that one too. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Christ died for us so that we can have eternal relationship with him, eternal connection with him. We are the very children of God, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. In the Passion Translation, it says, For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. So if I can get that next slide up, that photo of Val again. Those eyes. It's a love that recognises safety and nourishment, security, warmth. It recognises love. Imagine if we approach the throne of Christ with a love like that, with an assurance that he will answer our call, with an assurance that we are loved back in the same way, because we are. If you have a need today, bring it before the Lord. He is a Father that hears all our cries and is responsive. In the same way that I answer Valerie when she cries out, God does the same to you. He doesn't leave you in your need. He cares for you. You are God's beloved child. I'm going to pray now, and then please take the wine and the bread in your own time. The bread that represents Christ's body that was broken for us on the cross. The wine that represents Christ's blood that was spilled. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you love us like that. Thank you that you died for us so that we can have relationship with you. Thank you that you are a God that answers our call, that loves us so deeply that you surrendered your life.